So what happens to colleges now? Yes, lives have been lost and devastated by COVID-19, most important. But young lives have also been put on hold. Hopes for first jobs gone, apprenticeships to start climbing the ladder at trade jobs maybe, largely gone. And today, look at what's happening at thousands of colleges and the 14.5 million students who hope to attend them. Can they and their families even afford it? Are schools able to switch entire curriculum online? What happens to a hands-on lab study, for instance, for future nurses? Lee Gardner writes about all of this in the Chronicle of Higher Education. Lee, most schools are shut down. You wrote about one that did it so quickly they left warm cups of coffee on professors' desks. Many went online. So what are they thinking now?
They're thinking a lot of things because no one knows what's going to happen right now. In fact, a lot of them are still reeling from the decisions that they had to make quickly in the spring. It's possible that, if the virus is under control, then they could have a normal move-in day in August. And I think, frankly, a lot of people are sort of hoping that that's going to happen, whether they believe that or not. But a lot of institutions are looking at starting the semester later, maybe starting online and then opening up classrooms and dorms later in the semester, or just doing the whole fall semester online. People are just sort of trying to make plans for all of them because they don't know what the right answer is yet.
Well, talk about that split semester. Many seem to be thinking about that, the idea of maybe 8 weeks, 8 weeks, two courses per 8 week. And that way, if in fact it's safe to open up, they can pivot to having students come. These schools have to decide quickly, deposits are due for the fall. You mentioned shortfall. In the spring, students asked for their room and board back when schools closed. What kind of hit was that for the schools?
So far, it's been pretty substantial. The University of Wisconsin, I think it was $170 million just this spring. Johns Hopkins University, they've lost $350 million just this spring. And now they're looking forward to a fall where the financial uncertainty is magnified to an unbelievable degree.
Well, and you're hearing from students and families that may not find it worth it to pay for tuition for an online class, and they want them to be better than the ones that were kind of slapped together for the spring. Can schools, with everything it takes to do, an online curriculum, it's, building the entire class online, can they do that by the fall? What's happening behind the scenes with schools? And what will students do if they kind of decide, well, maybe I don't want this, some of the things you're hearing?
Well, no one's exactly happy with how the spring went. That is, the people who work at colleges are very proud, and I think they probably should be, that they were able to pivot that fast. But this was an emergency situation. They got classes online in a very quick and dirty fashion. I think students, at least initially, understood that this was an emergency situation and that they were going to finish out their courses. But now that they've been at it for a few weeks and stuck on their couches at home, they're starting to look ahead and maybe starting to question whether or not if they're going to be asked to do that in the fall, especially if they're going to be asked to pay full tuition, whether they want to do that. For their part, the colleges, everyone I spoke to talked about spending the summer to really work on making the online experience better.
You also cite a study that says 1 in 6 college-bound high school seniors are rethinking whether they will even go to school this fall. What are they thinking?
It could mean that they sit home on their couch, as one source put it, pushing back against this idea. I mean, what are they going to do? They're not going to go get a job. They're not going to get an internship. If everything is still locked down, they're literally going to have nothing to do. But it has been put forward by several people, including students and other folks in higher education, that a lot of people might stay closer to home. They might take some classes at their local community college, which is often going to be a lot cheaper than the institution that they might be enrolled at, and just transfer those credits over, assuming that they do go back to another institution. I know, and you may be experiencing this too, the people you know, people in your family who have high school age kids who are looking at college, they're really wrestling with this right now.
How much of a hit will schools take if people decide not to go back? What's your sense of the future of colleges overall because of this?
It's not an appealing future. Many colleges were already having financial difficulties because demographic changes in the United States have meant that there are fewer high school graduates in lots of parts of the country in recent years, and that's made competition for students tougher for a lot of colleges. And so in recent years, a lot of colleges have been missing their tuition revenue goals. something like this comes along, and some people are estimating that even if campuses are open, as much as 20% of a typical class could stay home. They want to stay closer to home. They want to stick with community college. They don't want to take the risk of showing up on campus in August and then having to bug out again in October or November. That's a huge, huge hit. And international students, usually they're heavily recruited by U.S. institutions because typically they pay full tuition. And their tuition is used to subsidize financial aid for other students. International students may be even more likely to stay away. And in that case, it could not only be a huge tuition hit for institutions, it could also hurt their financial aid for the students who do show up. And public institutions, state colleges and universities, in addition to the enrollment piece of this, they have a whole other financial impact that's going to hit them in the terms of state support. Because this is going to wreck state economies across the country, which means that's going to wreck state support for higher education. One of the first places that states look for cuts, because it's one of the biggest pieces of the pie that they can cut from, and higher education especially, more so than K-12. Pretty much in every state, you're going to see tax revenues drop, which means in pretty much every state, you're looking to see payments to higher education drop. So they're going to get hit with a double whammy on their budgets, and that's not going to be pretty either.
On the other hand, is it possible there's going to be a major shift for young people? You know, more young people not feeling that pressure. I've got to go to school this year because I can't. You know, my family's business closed. You know, maybe I'll do a gap year of necessity almost. You know, do you see the whole landscape shifting possibly?
That's a distinct possibility, and it could happen in a number of ways. I think as far as students go, people talk about how hard it is to get into college, and certainly that's true at a lot of institutions, especially, you know, that top tier of institutions. But higher education generally is becoming more and more of a buyer's market. That is, more and more colleges are hungry enough for students that they are willing to provide financial aid for students, go test optional for students. They're willing to do a lot of things to get students to make that commitment. This has the potential to kind of free them up to maybe make gap years a more regular thing, maybe give them some more options. You know, a lot of colleges as part of this are going to be looking at their financial aid practices,
right,
just because it's going to be in their interest too, because a lot of families are going to be financially disrupted by this, and it's going to be in the college's interest to work with those families to make something happen so that the students can attend. So for students, this will ultimately be an advantage for them in terms of their buying power, if you will, for colleges.
Boy, there's a huge emotional part of this story because of that. I mean, young people who were raised to think this is what you have to do in life may not be doing it.
It is. And we're hearing a lot of stories about people who were excited about graduation, especially first-generation college students, the first people in their family to graduate, the culmination of maybe generations of dreams, not getting to walk across that stage. There's a lot of emotional things on the line, as well as financial and career concerns.
And you mentioned something that we should mention, which is that whether it's college or community college, when these schools go online, and perhaps for two semesters, there are a lot of low-income students who are going back to homes that don't have broadband, don't have a lot of technology.
That's true. This being another example that has really pointed up some of the equity issues in higher ed. People have this image in their head of a college student, and that sort of equates to a kid who's middle class and has certain advantages and certain resources. And the fact is that many, if not most, college students don't have those things, don't have the access to those things. And one of these days, I think, we're going to look back on this and ask whether higher ed did enough to address the issues of equity in this moment. I know a lot of people at campuses are trying really hard to do that right now, but I think at some point we're going to look back and wonder if it was enough.
Lee Gardner, again, of the Chronicle of Higher Education. We've just painted a pretty bleak picture. Do you have anything, you know, that you can glean from this to share with students that might be a little more, you know, uplifting for them? Anything that you're seeing in this?
Well, you know, one of the nice things about colleges is that they're run generally by very smart, very well-meaning people. they have students' best interests at heart and really want what's best for students and want students to come and learn and have a good experience. And so I think that there are probably a lot of people on campuses all across the country right now who are working really hard to make sure that the students get back on campus and get back safely and get back in a way that, you know, doesn't bankrupt their families. When we get back to something like normal, I think that the college experience will still be there for those students.
Lee Gardner, who took a look at how college leaders are planning for the fall, will link you to his article at herenow.org. Lee, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Boy, what a pivot for so many people. Are you a student thinking of not going back to school if it's only online? Can you afford tuition? But what if you stay home and then you still can't go out and work? So many questions. Let us know yours at herenow.org.